nurses at some polyclinics off the job protesting not receiving hazard allowance. The Controller of Customs reports there's been no ease up in the level of online shopping by Barbadians. A former PDP high-ranking member believes there's no place for a third party in Barbados. And the World Bank provides millions of dollars in aid to St. Lucia to help it through the COVID-19 pandemic. Good afternoon, I'm Dennis Johnson. This is the lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. The lunchtime edition in association with the CIBC First Caribbean.
We see you, 2021.
Now it's time for the Happy New Year we've been waiting for.
What are your goals this new year? Is it owning a home, land, or vehicle? How about growing your business? We've helped you through 2020, and we'll help you achieve your financial goals this new year with affordable terms, competitive rates, and our CIBC First Caribbean Client First service. Let's work together. Visit CIBCFCIB.com to learn more, or call us toll-free at 1-866-743-2257. CIBC First Caribbean terms and conditions apply.
Reports reaching Starcom Network News is that nurses at the Warrens Polyclinic, the Winston Scott, and at the Geriatric Hospital at Beckles Road, St. Michael, are off the job. It's understood they're protesting not being included in the recently announced hazard pay allowances given to their colleagues at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and other isolation facilities. Starcom Network News understands that the nurses at the Warrens Polyclinic stopped work at around 10 a.m., while those at the Beckles Road District Hospital downed the tools just after 11. It's understood the action could receive support from nurses at other polyclinics across the island. When contacted, the National Union of Public Workers President, Akani McDowell, said he was aware of the matter and promised an update at a later time. Controller of Customs Owen Holder reports that there continues to be no ease up in the amount of online shopping being done by Barbadians as a result of the inability to travel caused by COVID-19. But he tells Starcom Network News, Customs Department has been working to reduce the backlog and believe that it's under control.
What was required is that the couriers now had to make adjustments to their processes, and they have done that. I was monitoring closely the backlog that would have occurred, and I think that we are on top of that process now. So the online shopping continues, but we have implemented something called de minimis that will cater to a certain value of goods, and any goods imported below that value will not pay duty, and that has assisted the process in a big way. So the level continues to be relatively high, but it's manageable, and we're able to manage it.
He says the current curfew has not had any major impact on the operations at the various ports of entry.
The only change that we are having right now is that we are staggering officers at the various points. And obviously, we have to respect the requirement of the protocols to ensure that we don't cross-contaminate the whole organization. So we're working in teams. The team is working for specified days on and off so that in case there's one contamination in one area, then we still have other persons to work.
That's the Controller of Customs, Owen Holder. A former member of the People's Party for Democracy and Development, who defected to the Democratic Labour Party, believes there's no place in Barbados at this time for a third party. Paul Gibson, who was a spokesman on health with the Joe Athley-led administration opposition, says what is required is a strong opposition, and that can be found in the DLP.
Having gone through the two elections in minor parties, I realized that at this particular season in the Barbadian political thinking, Barbadians are not very open to third parties as parties. You are able to ask questions, you're able to challenge and so on, but in terms of responsiveness and so on, based even on St. George North election and the 2018 election, realizing that the thinking of Barbadians are really for that it is a two-party state at the moment. And that's one of the things I've observed over the last 2 years and 8 months or so.
Mr. Gibson is hoping for a merger of the PDP and the DLP.
The reality is that in the context of Barbados, Barbados is really a place where people believe in two parties, and they believe that and there is a large mass base for the Democratic Labour Party. And so, I mean, I would like to one day to see that there is a consideration where there's an amalgamation or a caucus between the PDP and the Democratic Labour Party. There are some solid people in the PDP, and I think they add tremendous value. They've been adding tremendous value to Barbados.
That's Paul Gibson. Responding to Mr. Gibson's allegation, the leader of the PDP, Bishop Joseph Atherley, says he was made aware about a month ago.
He did play an important role in terms of public relations. He was a spokesperson on health matters for us. We're still in the middle of COVID. But I don't look at that in terms of loss and gain for the party. My concern with whether or not is going to the Democratic Party able to help them and by extension help the people of Barbados. If Mr. Gibson feels his interest in serving Barbados is better played out with the Dems Irish and well, I do so publicly as I did when he, about a month ago, communicated, signaled to me that he was thinking of doing so.
Asked about joining ranks with the DLP, Bishop Atherley appeared to remain open on the issue.
Anything which is legitimate and works in the better interest of the people of Barbados, I am open to. And I have also said publicly that I think it is in the interest of Barbados that the Democratic Labour Party could see a rebirth and a re-emergence because they have a history and a legacy of serious and significant contribution to the development of Barbados. I've said that two or three times. My position is still the same.
Opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley in the lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Construction continues on the Highway 1 project with contractors working to ensure little disruption to businesses and residents in the area. This from public relations consultant to the project, Antoine Williams, who says measures are being put in place to ensure that the project remains on target.
At present, the existing work includes installation of manholes, trenching, and a lot of this is being done along the seaside from the Frank Worrell roundabout straight down to CV Road on Sunset Crest. And then in 2 weeks, the construction of footpaths will take place. The ministry has employed a number of practices so as to ensure that convenience is offered as much as possible. These practices include the deployment of community liaison officers who will engage the businesses and residents, placement of traffic wardens for the ease of vehicular traffic wherever and whenever possible.
As public relations consultant for the Highway 1 project, Antoine Williams, the World Bank has provided St. Lucia with $30 million US dollars in credit to help the country and its vulnerable citizens through the COVID-19 pandemic. The bank's board of executive directors approved the money yesterday as part of a COVID-19 response, recovery, and resilience development policy credit program. The bank said the financing would help mitigate the negative economic fallout of the virus on the most vulnerable in St. Lucia. CARICOM is calling for a global summit led by the WHO to discuss equitable access and distribution of the COVID-19 vaccines. We hear more in this report from Trinidad and Tobago Television.
With no sign yet of COVID-19 vaccines for its members, CARICOM expressed deep concern at the current prospect of inequitable access to the jabs and said it will explore all available options to access them to protect its population. CARICOM members are supposed to be supplied with vaccines under the World Health Organization's led COVAX scheme, but there is no sign yet of any breakthrough in procurement. And in the meanwhile, Western countries have begun mass inoculations with three available vaccines. Other countries have begun using Russian and Chinese jabs.
The Brazilian state of Amazonas is running out of oxygen following a renewed surge in COVID-19 deaths. The government says people on respirators are dying of suffocation in hospitals. It has made an appeal to the United States to send a military transport plane with oxygen cylinders. Brazilian Health Minister Eduardo Pazuello says the hospital system in the city is collapsing and the city's hospitals are short of medical staff. Brazil is home to the world's second deadliest coronavirus outbreak after the United States, reporting more than 207,000 deaths. The top stories in the lunchtime edition of the latest: nurses at some polyclinics off the job, protesting they're not receiving hazard pay. The NUPW promises an update later. The Controller of Customs reports there have been no ease up in the level of online shopping by Barbadians, but says it's under control. Former PDP high-ranking member Paul Gibson believes there's no place for a third party in Barbados at the moment, and the World Bank provides millions of dollars in aid to St. Lucia to help it through the COVID-19 pandemic. This has been the lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. For the Network News team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Good afternoon.